Welcome, our first fellowship of the new year. And as we were kidding each other before I turned the recorder on, 2020 is a year for great vision. And we're glad we can have such great vision. And what we're going to talk about today is something that we touch on now and then, but we haven't had a whole session on it for quite a while, about the importance of asking. We all know people that like to ask for stuff. I know people that ask for me for so many things, they frankly become very annoying. Even if they know I'm not going to give it to them, they will ask me for silly things just to be annoying. So it has its limits, but in general, you have to ask for stuff. If you need help, you ask for help. If you're at the store and can't find something, you ask somebody. If there's something you want to accomplish, some project, and you can't figure it all out, you ask somebody that knows more than you do. And asking is important. And we know it works with people. We know it works when you want to order a sandwich at a restaurant. We know it works in many, many categories of life. It also works with God. And some people want to say, oh, well, God just knows. He'll just give you stuff. Why should you bother? And there are verses that talk about how God, you know, the hairs of your head are numbered, and God knows what you need. And that's absolutely true. But he also tells us to ask. You know, you go into a restaurant and they may have 100 things on the menu, but unless you're somebody like me or my parents that always orders the same thing and they got the same waiter every time, they're generally not going to just put the food down in front of you. You have to ask. And the only reason they do that is because 20 times you did ask for the same thing and they sort of got used to you. But you have to ask, and God wants us to ask. We have the freedom of will to ask, and he wants us to. God is not going to control your life and decide what everything you should have and just throw it in front of you. There are a lot of things he will do for you, but they're generally because we ask. Okay, let's start in Judges. Judges, Judges, Judges. Joshua judges Ruth. He shouldn't have done that. She's a nice lady. Okay. Okay, Judges 2, verse 9. Judges 2. Stop it. Okay, Judges 2. Oh, okay, verse 9. Go back, verse 6. And when Joshua had led the people, had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of the inheritance of Timnath, in the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gilgash. Verse 10, and also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. So as long as those people that had actually worked with Joshua and were around there, they served God, the next generation did not. Verse 11, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam, one of the false gods. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the hand of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them. They sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, and as they had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. Yet they wouldn't hearken to their judges, but they went a-whoring after other gods, and bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way. Verse 18, and when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of their hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. And then it goes on and on. And somewhere I thought there was a verse that said they asked for help, and the Lord sent a judge. Well, don't see it in here. Must have had my notes wrong. But there are plenty of places in the Old Testament where it says the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. They asked for help, and God raised them up a deliverer. But I'll make a note here to get the verse right. And maybe we can fix it in the notes before we send this out, Brian.
Is it 3:9?
Could that be it? Ah! Chapter 3. Thank you. We solved the problem. Chapter 3, verse 9. And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, what? Raised up a deliverer. Who delivered them? Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. So they cried unto the Lord. They asked for help. And let's look at 15. But when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised them up a deliverer, Ehud, the son of Gera, Benjamite. So when they asked for help, God did it. Even though they'd walked way away from God, and they were attacked and overcome by foreign nations, when they simply asked for help, that's when God took care of them. I'm still amazed that record we read a few times in 2019 about when Ahab humbled himself. Because if anybody was such a mess that God shouldn't have listened to him, would have been Ahab. But when he humbled himself, God forgave him, and he went on. So it's just great to remember that. It doesn't matter whether you're having a really good day, a really bad day, you've tried your very best, or you've completely messed up. It doesn't matter. Whatever's going on, ask God for help, and he'll come through for you. 1 Kings chapter 3. Thanks for finding that, Mary Rose. You saved me a lot of work. I would have gotten that figured out, but you made it a lot easier. 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 5. 1 Kings 3, 5. Look at this. In Gibeon, 1 Kings 3, 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. And this is what he prayed for. Verse 9, he said, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad, for who is able to judge this so great a people? What a great thing. He could add anything he wanted, and he asked for wisdom and understanding to be a good king. Verse 10, and the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment, behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee, and I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. See, a lot of people do things backwards. I think they ask for a lot of wealth and riches, and then they decide they'll figure out wisdom and how to help others later. Whereas he started the right way. He said, give me the wisdom to be a good king. God said, yep, I'll do that. And I'll throw in all the riches and honor as a side benefit. It reminds me of that verse in Matthew. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. You first focus on trusting God and loving God and believing God, and then everything else just follows. Great stuff. So that was a great thing he asked for. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. This must be Jehoshaphat and the Moabites and Ammonites. Yes. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 1. It came to pass after this also that the children of Ammon, Moab, and the children of Ammon, and with them other besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon-Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Verse 4, and Judah gathered themselves together to what? Ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. So they were besieged by three different nations, totally outnumbered, but they got together to ask help of the Lord. And you probably remember the rest of the record. They prayed, and God told them they wouldn't need to fight in the battle. So the next morning they went singing hymns out to the battle site, and all the enemy soldiers were dead. They'd all killed each other. That's a great kind of warfare, isn't it, Brian?
Mm-hmm.
I bet they didn't teach you that in basic Marine training.
No.
That's okay. That's not their job. I wouldn't expect them to. But interesting stuff. But they got together to ask help of the Lord. Psalm 105. Here we go. Psalm 105. In verse 40. Therefore was the wrath of the Lord kindled against this people, insomuch that he... Oh, I'm in Psalm 106. I got to get these books correct. Psalm 105, verse 40. The people asked, and he what? Brought quails and satisfied them with bread of heaven. Talking about children of Israel in the desert for 40 years. They asked for more food. So he sent quails. He'd already been giving them manna. They got tired of that, so he said it was not a foul thing either. He said quails. So they had poultry and bread for 40 years. Pretty wild stuff. So they asked, and he brought quails and satisfied them with the bread of heaven, because they asked. Now, we're about to switch to the New Testament records, and there the word for ask is usually a Greek word that means to ask, request, require, even demand. Sometimes you ask when you don't think you deserve it or you can get it, like my nutty friend who would always bug me with stupid questions just because he thought it was amusing. But then there's other stuff. You go into the bank and you fill out one of those little slips and you ask them to give you some money. You can be polite about it, but it's not really up to them to decide if they feel like giving it to you, because it's your money and you're politely demanding it. You just say, give me my money. Same thing, you know, if you go and, you know, you buy something at the store and you give them $10 and it only costs $9.50. If they forget to give you the change, you ask for it, but it's really a demand because it's your money. It's not up to their discretion whether they give you the change or not. They have to. And a lot of things in life are like that. You have a right to them, so you do ask, but it's with the attitude of demanding it. Or, you know, you take your car into the shop and it's all fixed. You'd like the keys back. You politely ask, but if they say, no, I don't feel like giving them to you, you don't go, oh, okay, and walk away. It's like, no, they're my keys, and it's my car, and I paid you the repair bill now. I'm demanding, very politely, but I'm demanding. And that's what it is when we ask God for something he's promised. We can ask with the expectation he'll come through. So all the rest of these verses we're going to read, I have that word. Ask with expectation or demand. So Matthew 6 was the one we talked about earlier. Still true though. Matthew 6. Mary Rose, we'll see if we can get through the rest of this sticking to the notes. And the notes being correct. That's two things. One, you have to have the notes right, then you have to follow them. That's pretty complicated. Matthew 6:1. Take heed that you do not your alms, you know, your giving of offerings before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy right hand... this is not right either. It's supposed to be... Your Father knoweth what things ye have before you need them. Am I doing that again? Maybe it's in Mark. Usually my notes are pretty good, but this one is not doing working out here. Good thing we don't have a big crowd here. And those of you who listen to this recording, you're just going to have to be patient. Okay. I believe it might be chapter 7. There we go. Nope, that one I have in there also. Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. Very interesting. It's 18. Oh, well, I'll just put a question mark there. Your father does know what things ye have need of before you ask him. But let's go to chapter 7, verse 7. Ask and it shall be given you. That's a good promise. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? You wouldn't want to do that. Or if he ask fish, would he give him a serpent, a snake? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts, he didn't pull any punches, did he? Even you nasty, evil people take care of your kids. How much more do you think God is going to take care of all of us? Yeah, he wouldn't have always won a diplomacy award, but he got his point across. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that what? Ask him. Give things to them that ask him. And in Luke chapter 11, you see the same thing, but it talks about asking for Holy Spirit. So that's another thing you can look up later if you want. Then in Matthew 21. And verse 22. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Now, of course, looking at the rest of the word, we know that this has to be the things that God's promised. I mean, we know this from common sense. If you go into an auto parts store, chances are pretty good they'll have the part you need for your car. But if you ask for some fresh Brussels sprouts or cauliflower, they rarely have that at an auto parts store, unless the guy happened to bring it in his lunchbox or something. You're just not going to have it there. Same thing, you go into the grocery store, you can get your Brussels sprouts and cauliflower, but they probably won't sell you a new car. They might have one bottle of oil or windshield washer fluid in the hardware section, but they're not going to have a whole car. So, all things, let's read that again, verse 22. All things, obviously all things that are available, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. So it's that simple. God's promised you something, you ask for it, you believe it'll come through, and you get it. I mean, that's what you do if you're at the bakery or the coffee shop. You see a cute little muffin there behind the counter, and you ask for it. You sort of expect the server to reach in there, pull the muffin out, put it on a counter, maybe put it in a bag for you. Maybe throw in a napkin. Maybe make a cup of espresso to go with it. But you know about that. But the point is, you ask with the expectation they'll give it to you. You generally don't take no for an answer. And that has to be the way we are when we go to God. All things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. And then John 14. Here we go in John 14, verse 12. Verily, verily, truly, truly, in John 14:12. I say unto thee, unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. So here in chapter 14, he's saying, guys, just ask me what you want and I'll do it for you. But in chapter 15, it's going to switch as his ministry gets closer towards the end. John 15:16, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. So it switches. When he was there physically, they could ask him for stuff and he'd do it. But then he says, in the future, whatever you shall ask from the Father using my name, you'll get it. And that is great. We can ask God for things using the name of Jesus Christ. Because there may be days where you figure, God won't listen to me. But will he listen to Jesus Christ? Sure. And when we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, that's just like Jesus Christ asked for it. Amazing stuff. So we can ask with authority. You know, different places you get different stuff. You know, we all have little cards for this and that. You know, this kind of credit card, charge card, maybe you have a club card. I have little things on my keychain that get me into health clubs and allow me to go to this library and allow me to do this there. And if you happen to have the right authority there on your little card, you can do all kinds of stuff. But just try, you know, buying a big purchase when your credit card is locked up or something. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, you don't have the authority anymore. And we've all had that happen. You either go over a limit or the fraud people turn the card off or something. Or it expired and you forgot it expired. I tried to rent a car once when my driver's license had expired the week before. So I figured that's just a picky clerk. So I went across the airport concourse to a different rental car and figured they wouldn't notice. Nope, they noticed it too. That one little thing, one number changed a week ago, and now I can't get a car. Fortunately, I had a friend in town who got one that I used. But these little things matter, and we have something better than that. Our access to God doesn't give up, you know, every 4 years when the card is renewed, and it doesn't overdo its credit limit, and the fraud people don't turn it off, and all the little things in modern life we all have to deal with, doesn't matter. Pray to God in the name of Jesus Christ anytime. John 16:23. Some more here. John 16:23. And he clarifies what we read in chapter 14 and 15. Chapter 14, he says, ask me anything you want, I'll do it. Then chapter 15, he says, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll take care of it. Now it's even more clarified in 16:23. And in that day you shall ask me what? Nothing. Because he won't be here. He'll be seated at the right hand of God in heaven. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. So again, a big distinction. Jesus Christ is not God. His Father is. But through what Jesus Christ accomplished for us, we can use his name and pray, and God will do things for us. Let's go to Ephesians. Go to some of those epistles actually addressed to the Christian church. Ephesians 3 and verse 20. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we what? Ask or think. According to the power that worketh in us. So sometimes we think, I can't ask God for this or that because it's just too big. That's too big. You know, I'll ask him for some little thing, but I can't ask him for this big thing. Well, he can exceed abundantly above all we can ask or think. That's pretty good. So think of anything you could possibly ask and God can do way more. And that is great. And as long as we don't limit God to solving the problem in some idea we made up, but just allow God to do his job and take care of us, he will take great things. Like, for instance, you're going on a trip. You just have to get there. Maybe you want to pray for a really cheap airline flight, and that may be one answer. Maybe you want to pray for a car that gets really good mileage. That could be an answer. Maybe you want to pray for somebody to give you a ride. That may be the answer. But God may have some totally different way to get you there. You know, somebody may have credit on the local bus line, and I got to use this trip up before it expires. I actually have that once. I signed up for a bus ride to New York and didn't use it because I was driving to my parents' place. So for the next 11 and a half months, I have a credit for a ride to New York City. And so maybe somebody comes to me and says, gosh, I got to get to New York. How am I going to do it? I have a bus credit. That may be the way God answers somebody's prayer. But point is, you don't know exactly how God's going to take care of you. But you got to get somewhere, pray, see what doors God opens, see what he tells you. Don't worry about it. If you don't get the $40 airplane flight you wanted, you know, maybe it's a $200 airplane flight, but God gives you $200. So spend it and be thankful. Whatever it is, God's going to come through for you. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. You know, you may be struggling to get on the bus, and somebody gives you a first-class airline ticket, and you go, oh, that's better. That's exceeding abundantly above all I can ask or think. Save me 2 days and a lot of getting bumped around. Yay! Exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. Now, here's a great one. I love this one. Because there are just days we think we're pretty dumb. And people tell us we're pretty dumb. I've had both happen. But James 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, tough luck. You're just going to be a dummy. No, if any of you lack wisdom, James 1, 5. Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. God gives liberally, freely, openly to all men. And he doesn't upbraid you. He doesn't, you know, harass you and say, that was a dumb question. Nope. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith and believing, nothing wavering. Ask with expectation, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. No, if we just are totally unsure that God's going to take care of us, you know, this happens in business and everything else. You know, you're having a problem. You know, I'd really like to go ask this smart person if they can help me, but I'm a little scared to go ask them because they might think it's a dumb question, and you never know. Other times, just march boldly up and say, Fred, we got a problem here. Do you know how to deal with this? And if Fred's the right guy, he says, oh, sure. I do about 6 of those a week. This is how we're going to do it. Bing, bing, bing. All better. And that's just asking Fred for whatever your problem is. Well, how about God? Because Fred's probably a smart guy, but he probably only knows one little niche. You got to ask Betty for this other thing. And Herman knows that. Well, God knows everything. So we just go to God with the expectation. Give it to all men freely and doesn't harass you about it, and you'll get it. But you have to ask. 1 John, just a couple here to wrap up. You know, by the time we get to 1 John, we're about done. You know, unless I'm going to go to 3 John of the book of Revelation, we're not much left after that. I actually have a friend in the Midwest who really got in with some group that, you know, thinks we're all going to live through the book of Revelation, and always harassing me about the chronology, about when this resurrection happens and when the seventh seal is opened, and tried to drag me into all of these chronological debates. What happens when? And it just, there were so many assumptions, and it got so confusing. Like, I'm just finishing a book about the history of the city of Jerusalem. People love to look at current events and say, ah, it's the abomination of desolation. In the temple. I've read it in the news. Well, if you read the history of the city of Jerusalem, it's been like 50 times where you could say, this is the book of Revelation. Yeah. It happens on and on. It happened with the Egyptians and with the Turks and with the Assyrians and with the Babylonians and with the Ottomans and with everybody else. Hell, you could argue Queen Elizabeth was the Antichrist if you wanted to. I'm not suggesting that, but you could go on and on and on with all of these things if you wanted to. But I just looked at it from a totally different point of view. I just looked at the things that are stated to people there, compared them to the church epistles, and realized there is no way the book of Revelation applies to us. It says in the book of Revelation, if you're faithful and don't screw up, you'll avoid the second death. Well, it already says we have eternal life. How could it even be a consideration? And if you're faithful and do everything right, you'll get to be seated with Christ in heaven. We're already seated in the heavenlies. You know, it'd be like if Mary Rose served us one of her delightful meals, and then she said, we're eating it, and then she said something like, if you go cut the grass, I'll give you a crust of bread. Wait a minute, I've already got a plate of this food. Now, I'll help you cut the grass if you want, but I'm eating regardless of whether I go cut the grass. So I finally had to tell my friend that, well, I appreciate your efforts trying to fit this all together, but I'm just not even going to talk about the chronology because I have no way of knowing when the book of Revelation is going to happen, but I know it can't apply to us because of what it says in the church epistles. So there are going to be some very challenged people going through some great wrath and tribulation, but it's not us. So at any rate, that was just a little diversion since I mentioned the book of Revelation. I'm not going to be reading that and telling it applies to you. 1 John 3, verse 22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments. Do those things that are pleasing in his sight. We simply live his word, we trust him, we believe he'll take care of us. And what's his commandment? It's really hard. Verse 23. That we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave his commandment. See, some people will read that and go, oh my God, I got to do the whole Old Testament law, or you won't answer my prayer. Nope. Context. The commandment is that we believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. See, that's why this age of grace is so complicated. Believe in Jesus Christ and walk in love. And we can do that. A lot of that other stuff, you know, how many goats and turtle doves you sacrifice, that gets pretty complicated. But that's not our concern. Not our concern. Whatsoever we ask, we receive him because we keep his commandments. And one to close up here, 1 John 5, verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. Not if you're faithful and don't get the mark of the beast, like it says in the book of Revelation, then maybe you'll get eternal life. No, we haven't. These things have I written unto you, verse 13, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And as you know, we know his will from the written word and what he tells us by revelation. If God has written something in his word, or if he tells you by revelation, you know that's God's will. And we know that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have received the petitions that we desired of him, that we asked him. Isn't that amazing? The petitions, the requests we asked of him, we know we have got it. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for doing so much for us every day. Thank you for sending your Son to be our Savior and the wonderful things he did for us to bless us. May we continue to trust you, look to you, and may we just ask you for everything we need, knowing that you hear us and you take care of us abundantly. Thank you for this in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.